If we get out your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to be reading verses 13 through 18 together. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "What about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Good to see everyone here this morning. I want to remind you that contained within the bulletin there is an outline of the lesson this morning. I was reminded as I was coming in this morning that many, many years ago, when Ron Bauer was back in the, actually in the front by the alley handing out bulletins, he and I had a little game. And the game was this. He would stand with the bulletin behind him, and I'd walk up and he'd say, "All right, what color do you think it is?" And as you know, we never have a white bulletin. It's always multicolored. And I would say it was orange, and he'd hold it up and say, "No, it's peach." Like Ron really knew his colors, right? Well, this is peach, by the way. We took a vote this morning, and it's peach. So if you'd like to follow along, I would appreciate it if you do that. Because this morning I want us to talk about the church. You know, when David and I were growing up, we were at church every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday evening, and sometimes more often than that. Sometimes you'd find us down in the basement, washing out the little glass communion cups. You remember those? Long before we had the plastic. Well, somebody had to wash them, and sometimes it was us. But that was our life. And I know that many of you experience that same kind of thing, where our life really evolved and revolved around church. But I also know that there are many who claim to be Christians that are not really as committed to the church as they should be. Or they feel they're committed if they attend maybe one or two Sunday mornings a month, but that's about it. Because going to church sometimes just messes up their weekend. And besides, they may find church irrelevant or really boring and not necessary. And besides, they can get everything they need spiritually off the internet. And you can do that very quickly no matter where you are. So why take the time to go to church? And sadly enough, many have been wounded by church more than once. And they've been hurt so badly that they just simply don't want to come back and be hurt again. So they just drop off. And they think to themselves, who needs it? Who needs the church? But for others, the church is simply a slice of their life. It's nice when it fits, but if it doesn't fit, then I'll just ignore it. I saw a drawing similar to this once many, many years ago. And it showed a person's life. And if your life was like mine used to be when the kids were small and we were running all over the place, that kind of pictured my life in terms of the circles. Everything was always going this way. You ever felt that way? You want to just slow life down. Let's take it easy. Let's take a breath. But all these things are going around, and each circle would represent something in my life that was happening. But many times, for people, the center, the hub of that life, of which everything else evolves around, is self-fulfillment. It's what I want. It's what I enjoy. It's what I think I need. And if I go to church and it helps me fulfill that self-fulfillment feeling, then I'll keep going. But if it doesn't, I'm either going to find another church, or I'm just going to stop going altogether. Because the hub of my life is me. But we look at our lives as a child of God, and we see it differently. Because we see that hub of our life as Christ and His church. And it is everything else in our life evolves around that. If there are things that I need to do, there are things that I want to do, if I've got people coming in, whatever it is that I've got going on in my life, everything else takes second place to that which is most important to me. And that is Christ and His church. Everything else evolves and revolves around that. But based on Matthew 6:33, where we're told to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Isn't that the message that He's giving us as we seek Him first in our lives? Shouldn't He then be the focal point, the center point of our life? The governing center of all that we do is Christ and His church. But I think we misunderstand that sometimes. And so I think to help us in our relationship with the Lord's body, with Christ's church, for the next couple of weeks, I want us to be thinking about exactly that. What is the church other than this building? What is it that God wants from me as being part of the body of Christ? And how important is that really to me? So I want us to think about that and pray about that. This morning I want us to consider simply this. Why the church? Why is the church important to us? What makes the church so important to me? Well, we see in Matthew chapter 16 in the passage that we just read, and I'll talk about it in just a second. But Jesus is with His disciples, and He knows there's going to come a time when He's not going to be with them any longer. So He wants to make sure that they understand who He is, that they understand the message that He wants them to get across to everybody else once He's gone. And so He asks the question, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then Jesus asked the most critical question of all. And it's a question He was not only asking them, but it's a question that each one of us is being asked by Him as well. And who do you say I am? And how we answer that is critical. Is critical to our eternal life. And we know what Peter's answer was. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's a very familiar passage to us. But I think what we need to remember is Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church. He wasn't just going to abracadabra His church. He wasn't going to just speak His church and it would be formed like God did in creation. He was going to build it. He was going to build it piece by piece, stone by stone, of which He is the chief cornerstone, person by person, you and me, all of us, the church is being built. And He's building it. And in His building it, you and me were part of it. and the church will only function as well as its individual parts, of which you are one and I am one. So when we think of this passage and its importance to our lives, remember this. We are being built by Jesus to be part of his church. And that's what makes the church so important to us, because Christ promised to build it, and he is building his church. And secondly, because he's building his church, the church belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us. Sometimes we see in these mega churches, they have these mega pastors that have been there forever, and they started the church, and the church is identified as theirs. In fact, I've even heard them say, refer to this as my church, when you come to my church. And sometimes we say that as well, simply because it's a place where we attend. But it's not my church. It's not your church. It's not the elders' church. The church belongs to Christ, and he bought it with his blood. Acts 20, verse 28. In talking to the elders, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. It belongs exclusively to him. And it doesn't matter how much we contribute financially to it. It doesn't matter how much time we spend here. It doesn't matter how many generations of our ancestors have attended here. It's not our church. It belongs to him. And he has given us the privilege of serving in his church. And that's what it is. Many years ago, I was having lunch with a gentleman by the name of Lou Barbrick. Lou was an elder at the Miller Avenue Church of Christ in San Jose, which is where Ann and I and the kids were attending at the time. And we were having a very nice lunch, and it was a very nice restaurant. And when the food came, Lou and I did what we do. We stopped, and we said a prayer of thanksgiving for the food and for our families and that kind of thing. The couple sitting next to us at a table got up as they were leaving and came over to us and said, "It's really nice to see people pray in public. Where do you go to church?" And I started to reply, "We go to church at Miller Avenue Church of Christ." But before I could get it out, Lou Barbrick said, "We belong to the Church of Christ that meets at Miller Avenue." Now think about that for just a moment. Do we go to church, or do we belong to Christ Church? There's a difference between going and belonging, and it may seem small, but I want you to think about this for just a minute. I go a lot of places. I go to Albertsons, I go to Bonds, I go to Walmart. I go to McDonald's. But I don't belong to them. You see, I go to get something. When you go somewhere to get something. But when you belong, when you are part of something, you go to give. And there is a big difference between getting something and giving something. And when we belong to Christ's church and we give of ourselves, we are going to get more than we ever imagined. From God in spiritual blessings, and from the blessings we receive of simply being together. So when someone asks you in the future, "Eric, where do you go to church?" Stop and think for just a moment before you answer. I belong to the Church of Christ that meets in Lompoc. It's amazing what you can learn from fellow Christians over lunch, because I never thought of it that way before. It's His church to which we belong, to which we are a part of. How do we see our relationship with the church here, with this body that meets here? Is this someplace we simply go? Or is this a place that we really belong to, that we are a part of? The church is important to us because He promised to build it, because it belongs to Christ, but because He loves her and gave His life for her. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 reminds us, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her." Verse 28, "So husbands ought also to love their own wives as they do their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of His body." That's belonging, that's not going. We are members of His body. He loves it. He nourishes us. He cherishes us. He cares for us. He loves the church that much. And because He does, then I must and you must love the church that much also. And that means that we need to love it sacrificially. We give of our time sacrificially to our family, to our children. We put them first in our life. And everything that we need or want for ourselves is secondary to them, because we love them sacrificially. So we give to them sacrificially. It's the same way we need to love the church. We need to give of our time, give of our means, give of our talents sacrificially, putting them first, putting the church first, putting the body of Christ first before anything else in our life. Sacrificial love, we are told, is between husband and wife, just like Christ sacrificially loved the church. And we are to do it the same. The church is also important to us because it reveals Christ and His glory. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 3. Going to read a couple passages in the book of Ephesians I want us to think about. The church is important because it reveals Christ and His glory to the lost world. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. "Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past has been kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church," as the vehicle, "now through the church," well, what? What through the church? "The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." The church is God's means. God's means of accomplishing His eternal purpose for the world, which is simply this: God wants none to be lost, but all to be saved, all to come knowledge of the truth and be saved. And how does that happen? It happens through the church, as we reveal Christ in His glory. Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at verses 7 through 12. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. A lot to think about in this passage, but one thing I want to point out, at least according to the NIV, the term he or his is mentioned 11 times. 11 times. Which shows you the importance of the proclamation of the word of truth. John 17:17 reminds us, sanctify them in truth, your word is in truth. Our charge as God's people, as part of the body of Christ, is to proclaim the word of truth. And the church is the pillar and the support of the truth. I'll say that again. The church is the pillar and the support of the truth. Now, I don't put a lot of meaning into some surveys, but there was one recently that came out from Pew Research Center that stated that 51% of all Christians in the millennial generation, which is 1983, people born between 1983 and 2000, 51% of them, and 36% of all Christians feel that homosexuality should be approved by the church. That's frightening, isn't it? Because the minute that the body of Christ, whose purpose it is to reveal God's truth, starts diluting that truth in any way, then we are no longer the pillar and support of the truth. We may change in the way that we deliver it. We may change in our approach as we deliver it, but we can never change the truth. Because it's not our truth to change. It's God's. It is His word. It is His word of truth, and it is up to us as His church to proclaim it. And that's why the church is so important to us. After stating that Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, Paul goes on to say, so that we might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. The laboratory, the place in which this godly character, the fruit of the Spirit, is developed, is in our homes. That's where it begins, in our homes. But it's also developed here in the church. As we meet together, as we encourage one another, as we love each other, as we pray for each other, all of those help us to grow in Christ-like character. That Jesus said in John chapter 13, beginning in verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The church is so important to us because Christ promised to build it, of which we are a part of. That it belongs to Christ. It doesn't belong to me or you or anyone else. It is His. that he loves her and he gave his life for her. And the church reveals Christ and his glory to this lost world. Many years ago, Apple Computer fell on some really difficult times. You may not remember this, but at the time, Apple Computer stock dropped to $25 a share. $25 a share. I'm not going to tell you what those 100 shares at $25 a share would be worth today after splitting multiple times, and we don't want to think about those things. But they were in trouble. And Steve Jobs was in trouble himself, because he seemed to be leading the company nowhere, and the shareholders were really upset with him. And so they told him to find someone else to run the company. And so he did. He went to New York, and he talked to a gentleman by the name of John Sculley. John Sculley at the time happened to be president and CEO of PepsiCo, which if you remove the co, it's Pepsi. It was the parent company of Pepsi-Cola. And Steve Jobs said, look, I've got this problem. I've got this company with a great concept, and it's just not going anywhere. Would you please come to the West, to California, and run the company? And Sculley said, you know, I'm a New Yorker. You would have to pay me an astronomical amount of money to do that. So it gave him a figure. And even Steve Jobs, that was a lot of money. And he said, you know, all right. If you will come to California and take over running Apple Computer, we'll match what you want. And Sculley thought for a minute and he said, you know, I really don't want to move to California. I want to do it here from New York. I'll be kind of a consultant. I'll run the company from New York. And Steve Jobs said, no, it's not going to work. You got to come be a part of us if you're going to lead us in any way. So as Steve Jobs started to leave, he stopped. And he turned around to John Sculley and said something that changed John Sculley's life. And he said this, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water? Or do you want to change the world? John Sculley thought for a minute, and he said, I want to change the world. And with that, he agreed, left PepsiCo, moved to California, and took over Apple Computer. And I think the message to each one of us is simply this. God has a greater purpose for our lives than manufacturing or marketing iPads or iWatches or iPhones or whatever else it is that Apple makes. God has a greater role for each one of us than selling sugared water. The role that God has for each one of us is to change the world. And we do it through the church. And we do it as each one of us have committed our life to make Christ's church the hub of our life, from which everything else revolves. Think about that. Pray about that. As you think about your relationship with Christ and his church, and our relationship with each other as well. I look back at those days when David and I and our two sisters used to go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whether we wanted to or not, when we were kids. And we washed those communion glasses, and broke the crackers, and cleaned up and did all those things. What we learned from Mom and Dad was the church was the center part of our family. It was the focal point of our family. And everything else we did was secondary to that. And I hope and I pray as you look at your life, that's the way you see his church as well. And if it's not, it's never too late to change that. We can help you with that by prayers, by by just reminding you how much we love you and how close we are to each other. How close we are to each other, both in spirit and in emotion. So if we can help you with your life in any way, the invitation is offered to you now. If you need to put Christ on in baptism and you've not done that yet, as we talked about a little bit earlier this morning, we want to do that as well. There is no greater life to live than that of one being a child of God. And if that's not you at this very moment in time, now's the time to change that, as together we stand and sing.